Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for consideration today is found recorded in Mark's Gospel, selected verses from chapter 7. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." So far the text. Jesus' name, dearly beloved of God, hand sanitizers. We see them pretty much everywhere these days. Since the COVID virus hit, I think everyone now has a heightened awareness of the importance of avoiding germs. And it's recognized that, like, washing your hands a lot and using those hand sanitizers will help guard against picking up germs that could cause the spread of disease. There are a lot of Bible passages that also speak of the importance of cleanliness. We read one of them, for example, in Psalm 24, where King David wrote, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Of course, David was referring not to having just clean hands in a physical sense, but spiritually, which is clear when he added that thought, clean hands and a pure heart. Today we want to consider that very concept of cleanliness and uncleanliness before God. First, how uncleanliness does not come from having unwashed hands before God, but it comes from evil thoughts and actions within, and most importantly, the thought of how we are cleaned. We get cleanliness spiritually, and that is only through repentance and faith in Jesus. Now, in today's text, we meet up with two religious groups of Jesus' day. There was the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, also referred to many times as the scribes. The Pharisees were that group of religious leaders whose prime concern was the keeping of God's laws and observing various traditions. And they were very meticulous about this, staying in line with God's laws and many traditions, which they themselves, in fact, had invented And they kept separate from people who did not observe God's laws and the various traditions. The scribes, they were the Bible scholars. I think of them as the professional Bible students and interpreters of God's laws and the traditions. And we're told that they prescribed, secular history records this, prescribed like 39 actions that you were forbidden to do on the Sabbath. Things like reaping grain and traveling more than 2/3 of a mile from your house. And one day as Jesus was traveling with his disciples through Galilee, representatives from these two religious groups confronted Jesus in order to voice to him a very serious concern they had about what they deemed to be a very serious matter. "We observed your disciples eating food with unwashed hands." And that was one of their traditions. If you go to the marketplace to buy food and you come back home, the first thing you got to do is wash your hands. And if you don't, that's a sin. Now, in the book of Leviticus, you probably know if you ever read that book through, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, it did contain a lot of the prescribed ritual or ceremonial washings which God enacted for his Old Testament people Israel to observe. For example, if they came into contact with the dead body of an animal, they had to wash their clothes, and they were considered ceremonially unclean for 24 hours. On Yom Kippur, that was the Day of Atonement, the man whose responsibility it was to release the scapegoat, if you know what happened on that day, you know, the priest would put his hand on the scapegoat, pronounce on it all the sins of the people, and have a man come forward and take it out in the desert to let it go, where no one would ever see it again. That man, when he came back home from performing that task, had to wash all his clothes and take a bath, according to God's ceremonial laws. And the purpose of the Lord enacted laws like these, and there are many, many others, is to remind his people that the fabric of their souls had a contagion of sin deeply embedded in it. They needed a Savior to clean their sin-filthy hearts if they wished to stand before him someday. And he was going to send them a Savior to do that, to wash them. Look forward with joy to his coming. And then when the Savior finally arrived on the scene, carried out his work as mankind's Savior, soul cleaner, that's when all those ritual ceremonial washings of the Old Testament, all those ceremonial laws, lost their purpose and became obsolete. That is what the Pharisees and the scribes failed to see and believe. They had rejected their Savior, the very one God had sent to sanitize their souls from the deadly sin contagion. And when the disciples sat down for a meal without washing their hands, that was one of their traditions, they became upset, because for them it was all about outward compliance to church rules and regulations. Having a clean heart was not for them important. And that's why Jesus said to them, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it's written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." Lesson that Jesus would teach us here and have us learn from all this is what makes us filthy, full of germs, in his eyes, is not a failure for us to observe man-made rules and regulations like It's a sin if you eat pork products, or if you worship on another day or set that as your regular worship day, another day other than Saturday, or if you do any manual labor on the Lord's day, on Sunday, like mowing your lawn or doing dishes, you're guilty of breaking God's law. None of these things, Jesus says, are what make a person unclean to him. So what does? And we notice how Jesus, in a very pointed way, provides the answer to that question in our text after having that encounter with the scribes and the Pharisees. He called the people in front of him and he said, nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. It's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. From within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from the inside of a man and make him unclean. And this is one of the fundamental differences, dear friends, between all false religions of the world and the true Bible-based Christianity. It's a commonly held belief out there in the world and in all false religions that people are basically good, or at least many of the false religions teach that, basically good inside, and they become evil only by being corrupted by forces from the outside, like society or the environment. According to Jesus, the heart of a man is by nature dirty, very, very corrupt. We're born with a sinful heart, handed down by sinful parents. Like David wrote in another psalm, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And that's why also then the evil actions come in the lives of people, including in the lives of Christians, because we still have that sin nature. Bad attitudes, the vices that he enumerates here in our text. So what's the rescue? What's the rescue from that sin contagion that we are all born with, that original sin that we have, and then the sins of action that flow from our unclean hearts by nature? Well, you know, and you've learned it from the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit has blessed you with this blessed knowledge that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And David, who wrote in that same psalm, it's Psalm 51, later on, he said, Lord, you cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean, and wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So yeah, we've learned to know that in the blessed gospel. Jesus is our soul sanitizer. He's done that for us by keeping all of God's commands perfectly in our stead. He also died then as our substitute, and that was the picture of the scapegoat that was pointing the people forward to Jesus when he died on the cross. Christ died as our scapegoat. And then the Lord sent his Spirit to us through the Word to bless us with repentance and faith in Jesus. Paul writes in Ephesians that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy and to cleanse her by the washing with water through the Word, reference to baptism, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless in his sight. Glory be to Jesus. Before closing this morning, I just wanted to call your remembrance to that very powerful episode from the Maundy Thursday evening when Jesus was assembled with his disciples in the upper room of Jerusalem. You'll recall how when the supper began, he got down on his hands and feet, started to clean off their dirty feet. Peter, remember, he forbade Jesus, you can't do that, you're our Lord and Master, it's beneath you to do that. That won't happen. Jesus said, unless I wash you, Peter, you have no part with me. And then he replied, well then, don't stop with my feet, wash my whole body, my head, my hands, everything. And Jesus then said, a person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet, and he's completely clean. So it was the Lord, what truth was he presenting there? Very beautiful, and it's like just as a person who's had a bath or has taken a shower, they're feeling squeaky clean. They walk outside, maybe in the backyard, and they get some dirt or a smudge on their feet, and they come back inside. They don't have to take another shower or another bath. They just wash off their feet. So the justified child of God through faith in Jesus is clean. All of our sins have been blotted out in his sight. But we still do need, and it's very important as Christians, because we still have that sin nature, to keep coming back for Jesus to clean off the smudges that we pick up as we walk through this sinful world, and because of the weakness of our flesh that leads us still to break God's laws and commands in various ways. So find joy in that, in the Lord's daily supply of grace and forgiveness. Keep going back to his word, where he teaches you and strengthens your faith in his saving work, in which he has provided for you perfect righteousness. Remember the meaning of your baptism, what Luther wrote about that. Signifies that the old Adam in us is to be drowned by daily contrition and repentance, and is to die with all sins and evil desires, so that our new man may daily come forth and arise and live before God in righteousness and holiness. And also, keep coming to his holy supper faithfully, where he gives to you the pledge of his forgiveness by giving you with the bread and wine the very body and blood that he gave on the cross to make you spiritually clean. Let it be our daily prayer. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, it keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.